Good afternoon, everyone. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is December 30th, 2014. I am bringing on a very special guest that's near and dear to my heart, but I did want to wish everybody a belated happy holiday and Merry Christmas. I hope everyone really enjoyed their time with family and friends, because this is a time to redefine what family is, right? I know this is a time of year where everybody gets very stressed about their family members, but it's also a time of the year for us to reblaze the trail and create the new world that we want. Anyway, if you haven't visited Galactic Connection yet, please do so. There's a tab at the top of the page for all of the archives of prior audio programs that I've done, as well as the BBS tab for any kind of details that you need on the guests that I've had on. Please go ahead and feel free to check that. I also run a daily blog, which is 365 days a year. It's extremely popular. We do post articles, education, and information through the lens of showing you what's going on that's right, showing you how the matrix is becoming dismantled little by little. That is also at the top of the tabs. You can go ahead and also reach it through the URL, galacticconnection.com/daily-blog. Okay, so now that we have all that out of the way, I would love to introduce my friend who I've known for, gosh, Joseph, I think we've known each other for about 10 years. And this is Chief Joseph of the Star Nations. He was also a founding member of the Council of Elders, and he's just very near and dear to my heart. He so speaks the truth, and it rings and spreads far and wide when he talks from his heart. We are going to cover a lot of topics today that are very hot amongst the lightworkers and the spiritual community, as well as the conspiratorial community. He is residing in Maui, Hawaii. Sorry, I cannot speak today. And I think you'll find him very interesting. His perspective is like none other. He is a Cherokee and Okinawan, and since he was a kid, he's been searching for who is God and why is it that nothing made sense. And after asking continuously why, Joseph has really accumulated a lot of knowledge and wisdom that is definitely a gift to all of us who hear him today. So thank you, Joseph, for coming on today. I'm so grateful to hook back up with you.
Oh, thank you, Alexandra, and thank you for that little intro there.
Well, you're welcome. Cool. You're welcome.
Yeah, and you know, if we could, you know, let's talk about, we all know about the problems that are out there, right?
Yes.
The negative stuff. You know, the GMOs, the spraying of the skies, you know, the banksters, blah, blah, blah. But how about if we talk about those things, but also from another, from a different angle, instead of fear porn, let's do love porn, you know?
Yay!
Let's talk about some of the solutions, if you don't mind.
Oh, I certainly don't mind, because that's what I'm all about. So the one thing I would love to just start out with is chemtrails. Now, a lot of people are frustrated because they can visually and physically see them. And many people say over and over again, if we're receiving such a tremendous amount of assistance from the galactics, why are they still taking place?
Well, you think about it. The galactics, you know, they follow the golden rule, right? And they're more connected to the source, creator, God, than we are, although we're all, that's who we are. That's where we are, creators of our own universe. But you think about that. They can easily shoot the planes down, easily do that. And we can also, you know, you can blow planes up too before they take off, right? But what kind of a solution is that? Now you're creating war, right, to end the war, which never works. And so technologically, it's very easy for them to do that, but it also goes against our free will, doesn't it?
Yes.
This is out of all the universes, the infinite amount of universes out there. And that sounds kind of strange, but from a science background, from a quantum physics background, string theory, all of that, that makes perfect sense. There are infinite amounts. Depending on the math, they've only proven about 10
Yeah.
Right? Or 20, what is it, 26 or 28, 49? So it depends on which mathematics you use, but, you know, you don't need to be a mathematician. Just know that it exists, you know in your heart that it's there. So anyways, so it's a free will universe. So if we start doing what they do, you know, the bad guys or the black cats, then we kind of sink to that same level. So they won't do that, you know, and we know that it exists. But think about this, okay? You see what you want to see, right? You see, you point in the sky and go, look, they're making tic-tac-toe in the air, and they're little birdie, you know, with the finger saying, you know, F off. And you look up there, and someone else, this guy standing next to you, will say, oh, yeah, those are pretty clouds. You know, the little feather clouds that come out of that.
Yeah.
And others will say, oh, those are just contrails, you know. And you're just going to see what you're going to see or want to see. And it happened way back when the Spanish conquistadors came, right, to South America.
Yeah.
They had no idea what a ship looked like, so they didn't see those come up. They had no idea what those were.
Good point.
And so that's why they were seen as gods, because they had this incredible... Then when they finally looked, they go, oh, my God, look at those weapons, look at those helmets, look at those blah, 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 right?
Right.
So it's the same deal, you know? And it's not for our friends upstairs to do it for us. You know, you never notice, like, if you have a teenager that messes up their room, and you keep cleaning up after them, they will never clean up after themselves, right?
Right.
So it's all about us. And, you know, you talk about this all the time, Alexander. You know, you say, well, we are the ground crew. We are the ground crew. Well, if you do the work for the ground crew, then what's the use of the ground crew, right? Why do we come back?
It's, you know, Joseph, that's such a good point. I got a very strong message last night, and they were basically saying to me, we are an extension of them. The, you know, ground crew, we kind of have this misinterpretation of what ground crew means. We are them. We just may be in a lower dimensional realm or a maniacal matrix, but we are an extension of them. And we are experiencing and seeing and visualizing so many different things than they can do, because they are not here. This is why they need people on the ground to root and anchor the energies that they are working with us on. So the thing that was so important about what you said was, we need to ask for clarity of how we can transform things that we see that we don't like.
Yes. And remember something, there's the prime directive, you know? It was on Star Trek, yes, but, you know, Gene Roddenberry, when he did the series back in the 60s, he used to go to channeling sessions, you know, before anybody really knew what they were, and get all this information down in detail. And he did the movies based on that, and it turns out, well, okay, it's kind of true, right?
Right.
So you got this prime directive thing, which means you cannot interfere in a civilization. So what they do, the reason it doesn't change in an instant is because, A, it's our responsibility, right?
Yes.
And people are waiting for the mothership to take them home, but they're not taking us there because we'll just screw that planet up too. You know, their planet, right?
Yes.
If we don't learn to fix our own backyard, why are they going to take us out?
Exactly.
So the whole point is, okay, you got to figure this out. So, but when you talk about we are they, you know how close to truth that may be, because what if they're us from a future?
I agree with that.
So there are higher selves, or, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Or friends, or family members.
Yeah. Right, come to kick us in the butt, to raise us up spiritually, so we can choose a different path. And all those different path lines, you know, in quantum physics, there's an infinite amount of things that can be happening at the same time, right?
Yes.
You and I may not be talking on Skype, we may be talking on the phone. We may be meeting in person. We may not know each other in another level, right?
Yeah.
So you got all these possibilities, and because the veils are thinning and the photon belt is hitting us, you know, directly now, then maybe that we can, and I know I've experienced this, is you crossing into different timelines. You know, you're walking along, and, you know, that watch you swore you took 3 days looking, tearing everything up and down, is sitting on your table, your kitchen table.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and but that's another timeline that you just crossed into and out of, because then it disappeared right in front of you. You know, you're looking, and I know I put it right there, right? So you think about those probabilities and those possibilities, and it's like, oh my God, why could it not be ourselves from the future coming back to help us? You know, as long as they don't interfere, that's why they help us. Because, you know, you look at the bad guys, right?
Yeah.
They don't care about the prime directive. They don't really care about anything except themselves, right? They feed on fear, so they're going to keep us in a perpetual state of fear. And and emotions are the language of the soul. So now they've got us on the soul level. Now, how do you entrap an entire civilization? That's how you do it, right? And so here we are, running around on the ground, you know, waiting for the mothership to take us home. That ain't going to happen.
No, it's not. And in fact, you know, another thing I was talking with another friend of mine this morning was about shifting timelines. We were just talking about this, but in a different way. And this is really starting to happen in everyone's life, but they just don't recognize that that's what's really happening. For example, everybody is having tremendous problems with their phones these days. They're having dates come up like 1969. They're having text messages that arrive 6 months later. Emails are coming in from people they don't know, or they're sending them out and no one ever gets them. And files on their computer that they absolutely knew that they put in a certain place have disappeared literally off of their hard drive. This is all an indication. It's not just, you know, gremlins, and it's not just your computer going wacko. When you look at everybody is experiencing this in one way, shape, or form, it is a very good representation of the shifting of the time.
Yeah, plus you get sunspots, you know, you get the activity.
Right.
You get all kinds of stuff going on. And I have to add one more thing. If you have AT&T, that's probably going to happen more often than that.
Yeah, no kidding.
But all kidding aside, you're absolutely correct, you know. Which timeline are you crossing into, leading into and out of, right? Different timelines. And somebody that you knew, like a family member, you know, or a neighbor or a friend, you see them, and all of a sudden they've just gone off the deep end. I mean, they're a wacko. And then 10 minutes later, you bump into them, and they're back to normal. How, you know, there you go. The streams are crossing, right?
Very true.
Yeah, and what do they say in, don't cross the streams. Don't cross the streams. Ghostbusters. Don't cross the streams. Well, it's happening and it's automatic. And you know, the thing to me is that we can't control that yet. But we have the ability to do that. You can be in any timeline. You know, you've got doppelgangers in every single one of those.
Yeah.
And some of those can teach you amazing things. You know, you want to learn about painting. You can't even draw a stick figure. And your doppelganger can teach you that, you know, and I believe in that. And I've talked to some of my doppelgangers, you know, and I have an evil twin out there that's not so nice. And anyways, but there's all these different levels. And people say, oh, I'm so bored. How can you be bored? There's so much stuff to explore.
Yes.
And not only that, but, you know, you were alluding to earlier about changing, you know, making the change, right?
Yeah.
And especially with the GMOs. And, you know, a really good friend of mine, I took him out to lunch probably about a year ago, Willie Whitefeather. You know, he's a Cherokee. And he, you know, we took him out to lunch, and then blue skies when we went inside the restaurant. We come back out a couple hours later, we were just yakking and yakking and yakking. He's just a great storyteller. But anyway, so we go outside, and I see the sky just checkerboarded with, they're spraying the sky like crazy, right? So I raise my fist and I, oh, expletive deleted, you know, and he turns around, and he doesn't lecture anything, he just turns around, he looks up at the sky and he goes, oh, great creator, thank you for these beautiful gifts. Make sure that everything this touches gets healthier, greener, the plants, the people are better, you know, off for this and healthier, and he just goes on and on and on. And it was so beautiful because what he did was he took a curse, right? How are you going to stop that physically? It's happening, right?
Right.
And then he turned that into a blessing.
And this is so important.
Yeah, it's such a great way to live.
It is.
You know, with everything, because, you know, we feel like so powerless, right? Oh, that politician should be in jail. This one should be in a dungeon. This one may have to be, you know, hanging from a tree. I don't know. But people have all these reactions to all the things that are going on because we feel so powerless. But we are the ones that partially created that, or quote, created everything that's going on, and here we feel like powerless. And that's also feeding into the fear thing, too, you know?
Yes.
And here's my theory. When desperate people do desperate things,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you can read all the news about what's happening and, you know, who's taking who out and all that stuff. But, you know, you look around and now it's time to unleash it all. Before it was about, you know, trickle, 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 right? Don't scare the people. Keep the slaves in line. You don't want to scare the sheep. So, but now it's just unleash it all, because when you're desperate, you're going to do desperate things. So if things are coming at you from every angle, right? I mean if you're half awake, if you've got a brain cell, and you see some of the stuff going on, it just compounds over, and there's so much of it, you're overwhelmed. And when you're in fear, when you're overwhelmed, your brain shuts down. And that's a proven fact. Fear shuts your brain down.
Pretty deliberate, isn't it?
It is. And so, you know, when you're in that state, you don't have the fight or flight. You're just like deer in the headlights. You don't move. And if you don't move, they're going to run over you, you know. So, again, you know, get out of the fear mentality. And what I call it is love them to death. You know, literally, they can't. It's like we talked about earlier, you know, cockroaches, right?
Right.
Turn the lights on and the cockroaches go fleeing. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to up our amperage, right? Get our light going like crazy, and then the cockroaches are hiding. And, you know, and it's easy to catch them, right, when they're like that, because they run pretty fast. You know, they know what they're doing. They know where to go.
You know, Joseph, yeah. I want to interject something. You know, there is a misnomer out there that people feel that the only way they can really move a mountain, okay, is if we all gather in a one, you know, a specific maybe meditation or, you know, maybe a physical gathering or something like that. That is so far from the truth. Each of us is so powerful. You have to if you start seeing yourself as a multidimensional being, an actual grid, you know, look at yourself as maybe a grid-like structure where your grid is reaching far and wide, no matter where. And there is no demarcation. There is no limitation other than what you think. So you have to understand, because of that, we are already connected. It's just the realization of knowing that we're connected. So right. it starts in your own room. It starts in your own mind. But, you know, ascension is within your mind, by the way. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, but everything is, okay? You think
yeah.
about it. Look at a table, look at a chair, you know, with all the photons and everything going into your, through your eyeballs, up to your brain. You know, it's upside down. Your body has to make, you know, adjust for that. And when you look at it, you get five people in a room looking at the same thing. They'll give you five different descriptions, right?
Yes.
It's the same thing. 20 people at a crime scene, you know, at a murder, you're going to have 20 different stories. That's because of the way that you created that, you know? And so what if we were God, not a part of God? What if we were God? And, you know, what's the saying? Be still and know that I am God.
Mm.
So how do you get there? It's all inside. It's not out there. It's inside. So if it was all inside, why don't you change the inside instead of trying to force the outside? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Then when you do that, then everything shifts. Everything morphs. It's like, and even science is so, physics especially, you know, they're trying now, they're talking about the God particle, you know, all the different universes, all these different things they're finding out. And every day there's a new discovery that we never thought could ever happen, you know, from a physics standpoint, physically, right?
Right.
But they're going, oh my God. Literally, oh my God. They're finding out that without the observer, nothing can happen, right?
Right.
And they keep, and there's a branch of physics that, or physicists, I should say, that are trying to deal with the observer. And physics is about, no, take the observer out of the equation, and then you have your perfect mathematics. That's not the way it works. They know that without an observer, nothing can happen. because then everything congeals, right?
Right.
Everything is in a state of flux. Everything is in this big soup, quantum soup, they call it. And then when you actually observe it, then boom, you freeze it, get a freeze frame, and that thing exists. And as a material object, we're talking about 3D, but you know, it goes through every dimension. It's not just here. Different physical laws for the different dimensions, right?
Yes.
But it all comes down to here. And this is what we're dealing with now on the physical level. But you think about that, it's all in here.
Yes.
Your heart, you know, and you've written about it, and we've talked about it before, that it's all a torus, right? Like a donut, a hollow donut. Everything exists that has a structure has a torus, a toroidal field. And so that's that, and the DNA and the RNA is what determines who you are. You're not a table, right? You're not a rock, thank goodness. But you are who you are because of this toroidal field, and the heart is incredible that holds everything together. But the thing is, there's a lot of toroidal fields, you know, in space, like little pinpoints in space all around us, we have that. And so you look at the holographic thing, you know, saying, well, how can you be holographic out there in the other end of the universe? Well, that's because the entire universe is a torus. And if you are God, all we have to do is realize that. You don't have to work towards it. You don't have to force yourself. You don't have to go read books. You don't have to take classes. All you got to do is just shut up, get real still, and know that you are God. Once you do that, everything is all the same, and nothing matters, and everything matters at the same time. You know, the dichotomy, right?
Yes. Yes.
So
what do you recommend that they do when they see chemtrails in the sky?
Well, you know, what I've seen, what I've learned from Willie is that just take the curse and turn it into a blessing. Bless it, because once you do that, you break the spell. So if we all look up in the sky and go, all that, those nasty humans, they're pouring barium and aluminum and strontium and all this other stuff, you know, into the sky, and they're trying to poison us. Guess what? That's what it will do. Now we have just cemented that in. Once we go, oh my God, look at these beautiful things that are going to come and cure everything, all the diseases, you know, and once we do that, that's what will happen. Remember the placebo effect?
And you know what else, Joseph? This is a really good point for all of us to understand, is they know that we are creators. They set this matrix up with color, with triggers, with sacred geometrical shapes. They know that that is how we create. They basically set that up for us to create with them without realizing it, this matrix. This is
right.
How it works.
They're using it against us.
Exactly.
Because if you hypnotize people, right, as from little kids all the way through school, just say you just got to work a good job, retire, and then die. Really? And pay your taxes. To whom? To the war machine? Really? I don't think so. And so what happens is that and then you control the media, right? And people sit there, and then there's a certain frame rate, you know, that they've instilled in all of the TV shows. You sit there hypnotized. I don't watch TV. But, you know, every once in a while we travel and we go into a hotel room, and guess what happens? The TV's on.
Yeah.
First thing, turn that on, and boom, I'm 4 hours later, I'm still watching. You know, I love the Food Network. But really, 4 hours? You know? It's so even something as innocuous as that will, like, lock you in and put you in a trance state. We're always in a trance state anyways, right? In and out of all the time.
Yes, we are.
And we're mostly in a trance state. So, you know, you get the alpha, beta, theta, data, you know, all the delta, all the different levels, and even superseding that up above. So they are using that against us to lock us in, so we look at everything a certain way, so that the structure remains for them, for their use, you know? It's like you're in a cage, right? Remember Tweety Bird?
Yeah.
And Sylvester?
Yeah.
Well, Tweety Bird is in the cage, but he, you know, Tweety can always open and close the door. And Tweety knows that, right?
Yeah.
The cat doesn't, so it keeps doing all these other things to try to get at the bird.
Right.
That's kind of where we're at. We're in a gilded bird cage of our own design, and we're complaining about it. You know, oh, look at the sky. They're spraying the sky. Well, yes, they are. But what if they were just beautifying the planet? You know, what if that would take that, the thought form, and remember, when two or more are gathered, you know, the power just goes exponential, right?
Yes,
so
exactly.
If everybody's looking up and going, oh, dang, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, What if we all did like Willie and said, oh my God, look at this, it's beautiful. Bless the person that's flying that aircraft. Bless all the people that supplied it. You know, and all of a sudden now it becomes a cure for everything, cure for all disease, cure, you know? And if you look at it from that standpoint, you break that spell of us co-creating that negativity.
And you know what else, Joseph? I think the other thing is if you don't feel like you can, and I remember somebody told me this a long time ago and it sure helped. If you don't feel like you can bless the elite, then do what Willie Whitefeather did and say, you know, I ask beautiful creator that all of this converts into love and feeds and nourishes us. You can certainly get yourself behind that command because right. Ourselves are literally, we're at a place where it's time for us to get off of our knees and recognize that we create. Yes.
Through the most powerful force in the universe, that's love.
Yes.
We are love. When you look at the torus, the toroidal shape, the heart, there's a reason it's a toroidal shape, because it holds the structure of love. And even the physicists, like I said, you know, all the ones that really get into the infinitesimal particle, go, oh my God. And they become converts. They believe in a creator because, and you don't have, you know, if you don't think there's a creator, then that's true for you. You want the most hideous God that's going to strike you down every time you don't bow and genuflect.
That will be your truth. That will be your truth.
The most amazing God. But that's because that's who we are. We are the gods we've been waiting for. And we can talk to God just by going inside. But we're talking to us, ourselves.
Yes.
And so when you say, oh, well, are we all connected? We are. Because if we all go inside, we find out if there's nothing out there. This is like the palette that we're playing with, you know?
Very good.
All of us, we're given these tools to create with our free will, you know? Angels don't have free will, not the way we do. It's like they have a specific function, and they do that with love, and they want to do that, or else they wouldn't be there, right? They can convert any time into humans if they want to, or Zeta Reticulans or whatever, but they choose that. So in a way, they do have free will, but not like we do. Total, unrestricted free will.
Yes.
And you can create whatever you want. You can create ugly things. You can create beautiful things. You can create ugly things that you think are beautiful. You can create beautiful things that you think are ugly. It doesn't matter, or anything in between, right?
Right.
So why not, because we can't go up to the sky and land a plane ourselves, why don't we just convert that, turn a curse into a blessing? If we do that with everything in our lives, it would be so fantastic. And the whole point of this is, don't make it complicated.
Yes.
You know, what is this divide and conquer? That's been the rule here for eons. So why don't we just come together? And you say, well, we are all one. And you know that up here in between your ears. But you got to feel that. And if you fuse that energy, that force, the love, then, you know, we hear the stories about Jesus feeding thousands of that, right?
Yeah.
Multiplying, that's easy to do once you're in that state, you know? And I, of course, I'm human, and I'm trying to break out of my beliefs that we can't do that. Yes, we can. I've done it.
Yeah.
Accidentally, I disappeared in front of people. Accidentally. I don't, you know, and I've seen that happen with others, and you hear the stories, story after story. If it was just one or two people, you go, okay, maybe it's an imagination, right? Someone's imagination. But when it goes on throughout history, this is who we really are. We are the explorer race. We were created, you know, genetically manipulated, all of that, from all these different alien races that come here. And we are the explorer race. You know, we can do in 5 minutes with our feelings and emotions, right? We go through so much more in 5 minutes than we call one of our alien brothers really... I call them our brothers and sisters upstairs, you know, they may take a lifetime, 1,000 years in some cases, to rectify one emotion. They look at us as the masters.
Yes.
They're here going, oh my God, look at these people. They don't even know who they are.
In fact, Joseph, you know, people discount that statement, and, you know, I know it's biblical, but it's in a lot of sacred texts, which is, we were created in the image of God. And it is a very unique statement as compared to other races and beings. This is what really sets us apart. And you made a good statement about how we also have an amalgamation of a lot of different species within our DNA. Why is that? Because we've been given the absolute incredible gifts and assets.
Little parts. Look at a big pie chart, you know, just a big circle.
Exactly.
And then you start cutting that up into pieces, right?
Right.
You go, man, I really love Andromeda, right? You may be 42% Andromeda, right? Genetically speaking. You might be 2% of, from Betelgeuse, right? And then you get all these different, so you cut that up into a pie chart. But, you may be a little piece of this, a little piece of that, a little piece of this over here, right? And when you look at all the indigenous peoples, of the earth, the native tribes, they say, right? We're all indigenous here because as long as you're born here and you're just a walk-in, right?
Right.
You're indigenous to this planet. And so they have the same stories, from that they came from out there. And they could tell you the constellation they're from. Every nation will point to a different constellation usually, right?
Yes.
And they have all the stories behind that and how they were brought here and how they're... And then you look at the Anunnaki stuff and it just boggles your mind. So what I'm saying is that we are so incredibly awesome, as a human species. But it's like we've been stepped on, so much that now you're nothing special. And we had talked about this earlier. You are special. Alexandra, you are special for what you're doing.
Wow.
Don't ever hide that under a basket. Let your light shine. And, but there's the ego thing, too. It's a balance. Everything's a balance, right?
Definitely.
And so if you look at it from that standpoint, these aliens, aliens, or whatever you call them, our brothers and sisters from upstairs, they look at us as the most amazing, just amazing. We don't even know who we are, and yet we're way beyond them in a lot of aspects. They may be ahead of us technologically, by a couple of million years or a couple billion years in some cases, but they cannot fathom what we've come to do.
And that's it.
In this universe.
That's it.
So you're looking at it from that standpoint, then you look at it from God's standpoint, and we are God. So, hey, we're the most fabulous things there is.
This is why it's the grand experiment. This is why they're waiting almost to see how long it's going to take before we recognize that we've had all the puzzle pieces all along. It's just a matter of taking the initiative and the impetus to put that puzzle together. The other thing that's extremely important for us to understand is none of us do not have something to bring to the table. I mean, I hear this a lot from emails, and everybody has a special gift, and that is even the smile that creates a frequency in that room for all of those people to feel comfortable being there together. I mean, if you see our world outside of physical matter, you will understand that every person is contributing their light. And it's very important because we would not be intact if everybody wasn't doing that. So,
right. And look at it from the standpoint of love, and it's a progression, you little baby steps.
Right.
Ultimate is to get to love and love everybody like you love yourself, And
yes.
That doesn't mean to be a stepping, you don't want to be a rug for everybody, right?
But no.
Again, stand in your own integrity, and stand for your own truth, but also love everybody. And once you do that, let me tell you a story, if you don't mind. And we talked a little bit about this before.
No, I don't mind at all.
About Dr. Len. This is, and you can Google this on the internet, and it's out there. And Dr. Joe Vitale, Mr. Fire.
Yes, yes.
He wrote about it as well, right? And Dr. Len was asked to take over a mental institution for the criminally insane many years ago on Hawaii. Of all places, right?
Right.
And it's a practice called Ho'oponopono. It's about using love. Now he has a little twist to it. Morna, I think, was his mentor, and she turned the ancient into using that love. Aloha spirit is about love, right? if we could just bottle that and take it everywhere, man, we'd be great too. Yeah. But it's already in us, you know. We don't have to bottle it. It's already there. You just have to realize that. Anyways, so the way he used it was this. So he went to the Criminally Insane Institute. They couldn't keep directors there for months. You know, everybody would quit. It's such a bad place to be, right? And these are criminals that were found insane, you know, take a butcher knife and hack their, you know, their significant other or just strangers out in the street, just take them and dismember them, you know, or whatever, right? Some hideous things. And so, you know, they have face masks, you know, on with the cages and they're shackled behind their backs, you know, in the whole nine yards. But when they came walking down the hallway, you had your back against the wall and you don't get too close to these people, even though they were strictly guarded, right? Really evil, quote unquote. So they couldn't keep anybody, and all the personnel kept quitting after a few months. So he came in, and instead of doing a psychoanalysis on everybody and giving them all the psychotropic drugs, you know, which don't do anything, you know, they do kill your mind, your brain cells, so you can become docile. He didn't do any of that. You know what he did? He went into his office. He took out all of their files, inmates' files, got to know them really well, their pictures, their, you know, what they did and all that. And he loved them. Literally. He said, I am sorry. Because what he's about is that if it comes into your life, then it's your responsibility. Not that you're responsible for it, but it's your responsibility to fix it. Because it's in your universe. This is the stuff that we're talking about. So taking Willie Whitefeather's thing a little bit further, so what he did, same thing, you know, but different words maybe. But he loved them. He said, I am sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Over and over and over. And each bit until he got to the point where he felt physically the release, you know. And he would do that over and over with each of them, over and over and over and over and over, right? It's all about clearing.
Yes.
And that's what happens when you forgive somebody. It's not that you're forgiving them. You're forgiving yourself for... Because what happens is when you're mad at somebody, when you got the revenge thing going on or anger, what you do is just hooked into that person and you can't get away from thinking about them all the time, right?
Yeah.
When you forgive, you just cut the bond.
Yeah.
You just cut, so you're forgiving yourself.
Yeah.
Even though that person is you on a different level, we won't even go there right this second. But you're forgiving yourself. And so what he did was he forgave them, and what happened was, they started doing little projects. People hung around. The staff hung around. They tried many, many times to paint the walls because the paint was peeling off the walls. And, you know, it was institutional grade. He wanted to make it bright, make it white, white, you know. And so they started a little project, and voila, the paint stuck to the walls. Wow. And they weren't coming off. And then all of a sudden, they were doing these little car washes, you know. And then they were baking cookies. And we're talking about hardened killers here, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden, within 2 years, every single inmate was released on their own recognizance as a normal human being.
Isn't that fantastic?
Without having to do any drugs, without having to have any psych sessions. They don't work. They're just locking in your past, right? And just, this is the most amazing thing. So guess what they did in their infinite wisdom? They shut down this place because it's too profitable to keep them open. Why would you want anybody to get cured on quote unquote, right? Don't try to fix anybody. There's more money in broken people.
Right.
And, you know, just go ask the pharmaceutical industry and the doctors. They won't ever fix you.
Right.
And if they did, they go to jail or they get the license revoked. I mean, that's just the way it works.
Right.
So, but anyways, he fixed it. And instead of everybody from around the world coming to find out how he did that so they could take it home and do the same thing, they shut it down.
Not fantastic.
Nothing. No more. I mean, how's that even possible in a sane world, right? But okay, let's use that because he did this and the story's out there. Why don't we take the Willie Whitefeather thing? Why don't we take Dr. Len and we can all do this. And what's really nice is that we don't have to be in one spot, you know? If everybody went down to India and did the, was it Kumbh Mela or, you know, a million people or 10 million people going out to a valley, That is very powerful, but how are you going to feed everybody? The logistics just suck. Plus, you know, there's energetic ways of controlling that, right, and disrupting it.
Yeah.
So why don't we just, wherever your home is, anywhere around the world, and I call this the armchair revolution, why don't you just Okay, a couple things. Get within yourself, or be quiet, right? Stop the monkey mind, the chattering. And you can call it meditation, but there's a stigma around that. So you can call it whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Just get there. Just sit still. And that's rejuvenating just by itself, if you do nothing else. And go inside, okay? And then the other thing is, okay, when you see these atrocities happening, even on the news, even when you see it on the news, you had something to do with it, according to Dr. Len. Why don't we fix that? Use that love that he uses, the Ho'oponopono Aloha, the love, and forgive, and that just stops it. And you can even see that in your own neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
If one of your neighbors is doing weird things, you know, throwing trash over your yard, or always parking in your parking spot, why don't you just love them? I say love them to death. It's not, you're not killing them, but you're killing off all the other stuff that goes around, you know, all the negativity. You're killing the negativity. And then practice, you know. If you don't think you can do it on a bigger scale, practice. You look at the weather. Weather's raining, hurricane, tornadoes, all this other stuff. We all created that,
mm-hmm.
whichever community. You can have a community, right? And a tornado comes through, a twister comes through town, destroys every home but one. It just leaves it alone, perfectly intact. What happened? You know, I couldn't tell you, but I think it has to do with what we're talking about, you know, love. It's not the fear thing. So what if, and the weather is really easy to do, you know, the rain. It's really easy to make it rain or stop, but just from our intention, right?
Yes.
And prayers and all this other stuff that goes with it. Basically, it's going back in and pretend, if you have to, that you're God. But if you can affect the weather, we can, right? And we can turn chemtrails into cure trails, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and GMOs, you know, you want to stay away from them if you can, but you can actually revert the vibration of the GMOs in
absolutely.
The food as well. You can neutralize it completely.
Absolutely.
So if you know you're going to be eating something in a restaurant, then bless it. You know, put your hand over, bless it, right? And it just goes on and on and on. But if we all did that from our own homes, A, it's not in one place that can be stopped. It's everywhere. And every place on the planet needs this. So you're in your own local area, but it affects the whole planet. And we're all becoming one by doing that without even trying.
Yes. And right? Don't complicate things. It is all based on intention. I get a lot of emails from people that don't feel that they are worthy, that they have the know-how, that they don't have the experience to do some of this kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. What matters is your heart, your intention, and you opening it up to that which is assisting those around you and yourself. Okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Period.
Yeah, it's all about the love, right, and the heart. And one of the things you can do, or there's a lot of ways to do this, is to go around, like if you go to the mall, you see everybody running around, and, you know, and even on Black Friday, which just happened here a little while ago, you know, and if you love everybody, and send them, just for practice, just send a big, big bubble of pink light from your heart, if that's what it takes, just, or a balloon, just going towards everybody, right? Great way to practice. Go into a crowd, you know, oh, I don't like crowds. Well, okay, but it's a good place to practice, so try it. Sit on a park bench on a really sunny day, a nice day, and then just bless everybody that goes by. Just bless them. And like you were saying earlier, a smile. There could be somebody walking by you that's contemplating suicide because what's
exactly.
the use of, you know, nobody's nice, nobody. And then all of a sudden, a big ray of sunshine smile comes out at them, and then you just save the life.
And that's huge. That's huge. You know, going back to a comment that you made about divide and conquer, this is going on in a big way on the internet right now. Now, I haven't talked about this part of it before, but I do want to say something. I personally know of at least 4 smear campaigns that have gone down amongst high-profile figures, okay? I'm not going to name specific names, but they have taken up a lot of resources and I should say attention from those that are visiting various sites, etc. Now, the point to all of this is if we understand that there is this other force that has technology available to them, And if we understand that a lot of the technology that they have available to them is not available to us at this point, or it's not something that we know about, but we do know that they have that capacity, we do know that they travel back and forth to Mars and the moon and who knows where else, okay? And if we know all of that, and we know that the Illuminati and the Cabal, one of their major modus operandi in order to bring somebody down is to plant evidence. We see it on Law and Order, CSI, you know, all of these shows, even on TV, if you watch those, you know, that is a number one way of using their resources is to plant information, evidence, etc. So they do that with an unsuspected offensive to the other defensive party. Okay? This is happening now, folks. And we must stop getting involved in it because they extract the energies created from the chaos and the confusion and the sadness and the depression and the betrayal that we all end up feeling because we are such powerful emotional beings. That's another thing that really sets us apart is our emotions. They go from one end of the Richter scale to the other. And they live off this. And this is where we are being trained right now. I wanted to know what you thought about this, Joseph. This is where we're being trained and we are being honed to learn to stay in an observatorial position when things like this take place.
Well, you know why? It's because you have a hero, and all of a sudden they plant kiddie porn, right? And they go, oh my God, he's into kiddie porn. Well, there just goes your entire belief structure of goodness, right?
Yeah.
And so it's again about helplessness and getting us in fear mode. Well, if the good guys are bad, then you know, what do I do?
Exactly.
Right? Who do I go to? But here's the issue, though, and this is my opinion, is that you are the hero.
Yeah.
You know, be the hero that you are and fix it, like as we're talking about now. Fix those issues yourself. Now become part of the solution or become the solution. And don't expect someone to do it for you, you know? My honey, you know, she said when she was in high school, she was running for class president. And she put out there and said, you guys, you know, collectively, the student body, you don't like this, 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 and this. Well, why don't you step up and fix it instead of complaining about it? And so it's the same thing with heroes. Why do we expect someone else to fix the problem or the mothership to take us back when we are the problem? We are here. We've incarnated or come back or our brothers and sisters from the future come back to help us so that they can't interfere, but we can. We are humans.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
We have the capacity to do that. So why not? But again, keep it simple.
Yes.
Don't complicate. You know, and I'm an Aquarian. I live in my head a lot.
So yes, you
me.
Do.
Yeah, it's coming from me saying to keep it simple. The more years I spend on this planet, I really realize that. Keep it simple, because if you keep it complex, all that means is you're shutting everybody out because, you know, it's like the doctors and attorneys, you know, they all have their own lingo, right? And engineers, they have their own language. But if they actually spoke in English or whatever, you know, language that you speak primarily, then we can all understand it, right? But no, it's about exclusive club. Again, divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm smarter than you are. I have a degree. Who cares?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I have, you know, I'm 98.6 degrees. So, hey, I got more than you, you know? So it's not about any of that. None of that matters. You didn't finish high school or whatever. None of that matters. It's not about the piece of paper with the squiggly lines on it. You know, and we worship that, right? The little green pieces of paper with the squiggly lines. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. And then we've given control over to people that can make that out of thin air.
Yes.
You know, they just take it out of their bum and they just go, hey, look how rich I am. But when you take all that stuff away from...
Uh-oh. Sorry, we've had some technical difficulties with Skype, and we're going to go ahead and start from where we left off. Do you remember, Joseph, what you were saying?
Of course. Yeah. You know, when you take away all these pieces of paper with the squiggly lines on it, then these controllers, the masters of the planet, are pretty well useless. They cannot create anything. I don't know if you caught that earlier.
Yes.
They can't. Okay. And so they are the useless eaters. They keep saying that we are, but we're the ones that are creating for them or whatever, you know, for ourselves as well. And so, you know, none of that matters. And so we're talking about the hero, the good guys, right? The bad guys are liars.
Mm-hmm.
They're cheats, they're thieves, they're all of these things, right? And they've come to do that to wake us up. The ones that are not awake yet or on the fence and can't decide which way to go, again, that's a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, because that's forcing you to go, okay, well, I want to be this, I don't want to be that, right? Just by comparison, look at the service they're doing. But also, you know, if they're poking the eyes enough or kicking the shins long enough, you're going to go, ouch, stop it.
Yeah.
So we're getting to that point where we're going to say, stop it now. All individually, which comes together as a collective that is not together in one place. You can't be, this force cannot be stopped. And if, let's say, 1 million people on the planet did what we're talking about, turning the curse into a blessing, whatever you want to call it, with love, ho'oponopono. We do that, and we forgive everything. Guess what happens? No more fear. They cannot exist without that. So they keep trying to scare us by overwhelming us with, just unleash everything, unleash the Kraken.
Well, you know, I received another message a while back, and they were talking about, you know, there's a confusion amongst many of us. Where do we end and they begin in their assistance? Okay. And they were trying to give an example, and they were saying, look, you know, we are at an embryonic state right now in our development. This is why we've been quarantined for so long. It's just like what you said, Joseph. If we had access to another universe, we'd screw that one up too, you know? And they said, basically, we have painted ourselves into a corner. And it was really out of love and compassion and concern that the galactics, as well as, you know, divine creator, supreme creator, God, whatever you want to call it, stepped in and did what a parent would do for a child, where they might help you out of that corner that you painted yourself into, but they're certainly not going to help you walk through the next door. Right, you know, right. They'll stand by and they'll observe and they might advise and maybe direct if you ask for help, but you've got to walk through that next door. And that is where we are, guys. We are at a total doorway to an amazing golden age, and it is right there.
All we have to do is create it.
Exactly.
All of us come together, create your own heaven on earth. Whatever that is for you, it doesn't matter. It's your heaven. It's your earth. It's my earth. It's my heaven. And, you know, most people, 99.99999% of people are good. You know,
yes.
It's this country against that country. They're bad. No, it's the government. There's like a few people at the top that take orders, marching orders from the useless eaters up at the very top.
Yes.
Right? And so you're going to listen to them because they gave you some pieces of paper? Really? Anyways, but most of us are really, really good. We want health, happiness, pursuit of justice, and all this other stuff, right? Pursuit of happiness. And we all want families and peace and all of that. That's not going to happen until we get rid of the fear that's feeding the fire. So you're like taking this big roaring fire and keep throwing kerosene on it, right?
Yes.
And then, again, when you're saying that the embryonic stage, like as a parent watching over the kid, if you're in kindergarten and you went to a spelling bee contest with a PhD from Harvard, that's not really a fair fight, is it? I mean, a fair contest, right?
No, not at all.
So you're a little kindergartner versus a PhD student. Well, what they've done is come and said, okay, that's not fair. So we're going to equalize the playing field by getting rid of all their super expensive, hyperactive, grid machine-making toys. Let's rip it apart. So now we're more on even keel, right? So you got a kindergartner, maybe a first or second grader, okay? It might be a really bright kindergartner, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so that's what they've done. Yeah, the Galactic Brothers and Sisters, yeah.
Thank you, Joseph. I'm sorry, I just wanted to add something because you just made a statement. I got goosebumps. You said they wanted to equalize the playing field. I want people to understand that what was accomplished just through my little piece of it in Africa with Sandy and Chris and myself and all of the Legions of Light that supported us, that was all about equalizing the playing field.
Explain to them in detail, Alexandra.
Okay. One of the missions was to open up the first portal of six. And this is going back to the first world age. It's going back to the very beginning. It's like a singularity point. And we literally opened up a bunch of time locks, dimensional gateway. It was like a cosmic highway, if you want to picture it that way. That was fully opened. It is now fully accessible to every single person on this planet, but including all of the Legions of Light and all of our galactic brothers and sisters that have wanted to access you, but there have been so many technological impediments preventing that from doing so. Because you have to understand, if you're at a very, very high vibrational level, you are not going to climb into an extremely low one. Okay? It's just not going to happen, folks. Okay? So they wanted to have access to you as much as you do to them. This blew that wide open. That was one of the missions. The other mission was closing the portal where the archontic elements, beings, dark, whatever you want to call them, were being literally pushed. They were being propelled into this reality. And I remember this. I have been at council meetings where they've said the only way that they see us really taking a huge leap forward was to equalize the playing field. That has now officially been done. You know, we're talking a ton, a huge percentage of these beings have been removed just from my piece in Africa. With Sandy and Chris.
And so, was that your mission? Was that your original mission to go there?
Well, they, you know how it goes, Joseph. They only tell you it's on a need-to-know basis, right? When it's something...
You were there for vacation, right?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I went there on vacation for 2 days and two weeks and 4 days. I ended up there 60 days. They kept giving me call after call after call. And these missions got more and more and more intense. And as they were getting more intense, I started seeing the intensity around even the planet, even on the internet. The other thing I was able to do, I just had a talk in Los Angeles on Friday, and when I put all the pieces together, what people probably don't realize, that major, major closing down of the portal, it was a huge strategic move on the part of the Galactics. Because they knew once we did this, because this is their reinforcements, guys. This is their physical, etheric, I don't know what you want to call it, their soldiers, okay, who are constantly clinging on to all of us no matter how hard we try. And it was something like a 10 to 100 to 1 ratio. I mean, it was insane. There were so many archontic beings in this reality because of the compression. We were able to close that portal down and stop the wormhole, which is where they were being pumped into this reality. Now, with that said, that was on October 18th. From October 19th, and I believe it started that night, but from October 19th, they had an unprecedented number of X-flares. I don't know if you remember this. And they went on from the 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd. I mean, it went on all the way through the 27th. I was told ahead of time, without even knowing what I was about to do, that I better get ready for some unusual stellar activity. So the proof is there. And, you know, you can only take my word for it. Now what they keep wanting me to get the word out on is this is an inside job. If you're feeling psychically attacked, if you're feeling depressed and down, you've got to clear your own field now. It's not an external thing as much as it's an internal old program or... You know, it's still maybe some Klingons in your own field. It's time for us to get ourselves clean.
Yes, yes, ma'am. And, you know, yeah, absolutely. And you want a couple of things internally. Remember, we're still on 3D here, right?
Yes.
So physically speaking, there's a couple of things you should do. What is the greatest medicine on this planet? if you had to choose one and one only, it's clean water.
Oh, yes.
It's the greatest medicine on earth, right?
Yes.
And yet we need, as adults, we need at least 3 liters of water a day in the winter just sitting without breaking a sweat. You know, in the summer you need a lot more. In the winter you need 3 liters of water. Your brain is mostly water. Sugar, a certain type of sugar, glucose, and fatty tissue. Without water and air, right, oxygen and sunlight, in some places, you know, in the winter, not as easy to get, but vitamin D3, that's the sunshine vitamin for your inside, and a lot of it, not just a little bit, but a lot. So you do a few things like that, and all of a sudden, you can't, it's impossible to be gloomy, it's impossible to be negative. And then the other thing is, if you're taking drugs, you know, pharmaceutical drugs, they're pretty much all made to keep you as zombies.
Absolutely.
And then slowly destroy your organs, because if they did it too quickly, they can't make a profit when you're going downhill. So it's engineered. And you think, well, these guys are idiots. No, they're not. They're brilliant. They did this on purpose.
Very brilliant.
They hired their salesmen, the doctors, to give it to you or sell it to you at a huge profit to make you a zombie. So you're keeping yourself a zombie. And a really good friend of mine, Dr. Bruce Lipton, he told me when we were, you know, talking one day, and he said, Joseph, I said, yes, doc. He said, listen, if a doctor, you know, I'm a doctor. I said, yeah, of course I do. He said, if a doctor prescribes a medication, right, always look at the side effects first. You know, you roll out this big, long piece of paper, little tiny print, both in the front and the back. You're going to have up to 300 to 400 different side effects from this drug, right? Whatever it is. On TV, they only give you a couple, like, oh, you got little burning sensations, oh, you know, like little, they don't make it sound so bad, right? When you actually look at it, and you go, oh, my God, let's see, renal failure, painful rectal itch, brain hemorrhage, I mean, what the heck is this, right? But he said, listen to me. He said, you're going to get one or more of those side effects, guaranteed. That's guaranteed to give you something on that list. The problem that it's supposed to solve, right? Like left knee twitching syndrome or whatever, right ear, you know, itching, scratching sensation, you know, it's not even guaranteed to fix that problem.
True.
But so you keep your original plus 5 more new ones. Then you have to go to a new drug to try to counteract those. And
right.
Now it's multiplied 5 times 5. Now you're like, that's what happened. And so if you stay with the greatest medicine on earth, which is distilled water, okay, and there's a whole reason behind that. Now, people are going to object to it, but distilled, the cleanest water you can get, okay, RO water, rainwater way up in the mountains where it's not so polluted, or glacial water is the absolute best on the planet, but kind of hard to go up to the North Pole and get your own water, right? So clean water. If you do that, and oxygen and hydrogen in that water will oxygenate your cells anyways, get sunshine where you can, or vitamin D3, and eat the right things. You do that, you can never, ever be suicidal. You can't. There's so much to live for in this life. It's just amazing. And what you're doing is, like you're saying, you know, it can be patterns too, right? From childhood.
Yes.
But you mix all that, put that in the mix. But if you take care of your physicality, of your physical body, it's really hard to be negative. It's really hard that way. The pill won't do it.
Well, you know, the other thing is we all tend to look at this lifetime as, you know, oh, my God, what a drag. It's been constant adversity. It's so challenging. It's brutal. It's at the end of the world age where it's gotten to its most corrupt point. But this is without a doubt one of the most incredible blessings to be here at this time.
Oh,
this is why so, yeah. This is why so many beings are being born at this time here.
Trillions and trillions of beings are watching us, and they want to be here, but they can't because
you only
birth so many people at a time.
Exactly.
Right? But
exactly.
If they want to be here. They see this as the PhD of the PhD level.
Yes.
And they're just absolutely fascinated by what's going on here. It has never happened before in the history of this universe. What
yeah.
is 14.6 billion years? According to the Mayans, you know,
yeah.
14.6 billion years. And so it's never happened before. So this is like the level you want to be at. And yes, they all want to be here. And it's the e-ticket ride that we signed up for, and we made it here And we have a unique experience to get to this point. A lot of people have checked out, if you notice.
A lot more people will, because their physical vessel isn't able to handle the light. But, you know, what I was going to say is, check this out. Think about all of us that are getting prepared. We're literally getting prepared to be the teachers, traveling all over, not just the planet, folks. We're talking galaxies and universes, to share in this experience and to enlighten the entire universes. Oh my God, can you imagine how blessed we are to have that opportunity?
In this time, exactly. And, you know, we were other beings on other planets and stuff once, right? Or
yes.
More than once.
Yes.
And so we had those experiences in our genetics. But now, they can only handle so much. They can only do so much, even with their technology. But now, the emotional content, you know, they say the Zeta Reticulae are us in the future come back, because we've engineered all the emotions out of our bodies, right? Our emotional body.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's impossible to do, because that's kind of an entire realm that you need to survive.
Yeah.
But anyways, they're saying they're coming back to try to figure out how to inbreed that, or put that back into the genetics, right?
Right.
That's why we are experimenting on ourselves. But we already have it. We're here. We did it. We figured out how to do that so we can teach the rest of the universe. And they're just going, I can hear them clapping now, going, oh, yeah, standing ovation. Oh, right on. So we are... You know, we seem like we are just a little thing, a little piece of dust in the universe is floating around, but we are impacting so much out there in the universe. And, like, again, they said that not only photons, right, at the ends of the universe are cojoined, right, spooky action at a distance, they're connected. If they've been together and you place them at the far ends of the universe, the exact same thing. They are identical, right?
Right.
And they now it's on the molecular level. They've figured that out, that even far away, even atoms and molecules, and they interact that way too. But I, you know, what I would say is that consciousness really is what the universe is, right?
Yeah.
Consciousness.
Yeah.
And consciousness of who? That's what the physicists are saying. Who? Well, they already know who, but they just can't come out and say it, or they'll be fired from their jobs. They have to actually prove what it is, right? Anyways, the Higgs particle, the dot particle, the, you know, all this other boson, all this stuff. Hey, who are you calling a boson? Anyways.
Well,
You know what I'm saying? It's just the most amazing universe you could ever live in, the most incredible time.
It is.
How can you even be bored for 1 second for all the things that are going on? Open up your mind, drink more water, get your brain working, whatever that means. And there's all kinds of ways to do that. Just get your brain. Wake up. Don't be a zombie anymore. Be the free person that you are. Oh my God, there's so much going on.
Well, anyway, I was gonna add something. You said something about the pharmaceuticals. What a lot of people also don't realize, you know, I'm sure many understand that the whole reason that a pharmaceutical drug, I'm even wondering if people have questioned that. Where did they come from? If we have plants and we have tree bark and seeds and roots and flowers, you know, and all these things that I play with, if we have all that, which definitely assists and cures the body, then why did we create pharmaceuticals in the first place? And the reason for that is because it was all about patenting, so that they were able to patent it, and it was all about control, being able to control us. But they've taken it a step further. The pharmaceutical drugs, they've already proven that they definitely have emotional beings attached to these drugs, and they've actually captured pictures of these pharmaceutical drugs and on a microscopic level. I have to try to track down this one article. It was incredible. My point is that energetic frequency is being passed on to your body. And if you're on pharmies, and I've been there too because of the accident I was in, I understand they're a bridge, but if you decide that you want to get off of these drugs, there are always answers, solutions, and there's just so much out there now that is far more effective in getting you whole.
Let me give you a couple ways here.
Yes.
One way, if you talk to your doctor, remember, he sold you the drug, So, and he has hardly any pharmacological training. He doesn't know the interactions of any of the chemicals. You go to a pharmacist, and they say, you got, you know, some people, one lady I talked to had 37 different meds.
Wow.
So I said, okay, go to your pharmacist, and just, you know, a nice pharmacist, and just ask him really nicely. Say, hey, how do these interact? And he'll roll his eyes. Not his job to really explain that to you, right? He just filled orders. But doctors have absolutely no clue. Go to a pharmacist, and he'll tell you which ones are really bad with each other, the interactions, and he will help you. You don't stop cold turkey with anything that you do, because they've engineered a lot of these meds so that you will die instantly if you go off of them now. So you have to back off of them, right?
Right.
You go to a really good pharmacist, or especially compounding pharmacists. There used to be 10,000. They're trying to get rid of them because they're bypassing big pharma, right? So, but you go to these guys, and they will tell you how to come off the drugs safely, which ones you can get off now if you're interested in doing that. Because what will happen is all those side effects will start going away, number one. Number two, you will start to wake up, and you will see how magnificent this universe is. And this planet, starting with this planet, you know, this is heaven on earth, literally. But some people are living on hell on earth because they created that. So because they're drugged up, street drugs too, you know, but especially pharma legalized drugs that are even worse than street drugs. So you go to one of these professionals, they can tell you how to come off of them easily, or which ones are really bad interactively, and which ones you can stop now. But take a lot of water. Drink lots of, that's the greatest thing on earth. Now, here's what happened almost 100 years ago, a little over 100 years ago, last century. The hospitals are competing, right? The homeopathic hospitals and big pharma, you know, Rockefeller run, right?
Right.
They're competing with each other. They had 200 hospitals apiece, approximately. I mean, you know, not exact number. 200 hospitals apiece, because they were looking to take over the market, right? So what happened was people were a little more cognizant back then, and they said, oh, there's an article that came out about vitamin D3, not D2, not D4, not D10, not D12. That all strips up the calcium from your body, but vitamin D3. So they read these articles, and people were curing their cancers. You know, there wasn't as much back then, because now it's actually manufactured, but their cancers, their diabetes, blah, blah, blah. This whole long list of stuff, major things, right?
Right.
So they're taking the vitamin D3, and guess what? It was all clearing it up. So now you had 200 homeopathic hospitals down to two allopathic hospitals.
So sad.
They were freaking out beyond belief. They tried to legislate vitamin D3 out of existence. They couldn't. It's natural. You know, you're going to cover up the sun with a blanket? What are you going to do, right? So what happened was they said, they came up with a brilliant idea. Oh, let's change the units. So instead of grams and milligrams, people are taking a ton of this stuff, right? And it's safe. It's the only vitamin you can do that with, though. Don't do this with anything else. But what they did was they turned milligrams and grams of stuff into what I use, right?
Mm-hmm.
International units. Of what? There's hardly anybody on this planet that can tell you. You got to look it up. Like a thousandth, I don't remember the exact numbers, but like a thousandth of a milligram or something. It's like nothing. So you can't even get a bug healthy with what they recommend. You know, like 400, it used to be 400. They were sued. They had to kick it up to 600 IUs. That's nothing. Absolutely. You can't, if you have a pet flea in your flea circus, you can't even keep them healthy with this stuff, right? So you got to take a ton of it. 20 minutes in the sunshine. 20 minutes.
Why is that? Why do you have to take a ton of it, Joseph? Profits!
No. A ton of the vitamin D3.
No. I mean, they're wanting you to take a ton of it.
I want you to take anything. So that's how they, then all of a sudden, they licked their chops, you know, they licked their wounds, and they kicked the homeopathic hospitals out of existence, and they took over because they learned from that, right?
Yes.
That's how you do it.
Right.
You can't ban a natural substance, but you can change the properties of how much you're taking. And everything, people are carrying everything with just vitamin D3. It's like, remember rickets and beriberi and all that?
Yes.
Remember? That was a horrendous death.
Yes.
Until they discovered, there was a vitamin C deficiency.
Yes.
And a vitamin D3 deficiency, you know?
Right.
That's all it was. Cancer, vitamin K2 deficiency. Oh, really? Wow. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to it. But when you have a deficiency of a key mineral or a vitamin, you're going to have stuff happen, right?
Right.
And your body is just a perfect healing instrument, but you were overloaded with toxins. That's part of the process, right?
Yeah.
Give me the drugs. Spray the air. poison the water and get them really toxic. So A, it shuts your brain down. You can't think anymore, right? And I can see that. The fluoride is working all over the country. Try having a conversation with a stranger. It's hard sometimes. You know, but anyways, again, wake yourself up physically, because if you're zombied out, you can't put the pieces of the puzzle together. You can't. Get back in your body. Get back. Stay here on Earth. Don't try to go somewhere else. Stay here. Make this heaven on Earth. And then wake up from all of this stuff and you go, oh, wow, I could actually create this. All these things around us are just paint in the palette of whatever you want to create. Play with that. Don't make it hard. Keep it really simple. Simple, simple, simple. And the whole story of the vitamin D3, the sunshine vitamin for your insides, is so you're not getting sunshine? Well, make sunshine for your insides, right?
Yeah. Good
That's
point.
What you do. So it just goes on and on. Everything is simple if you know what you're looking for, but they make it really complicated because you can't keep all the pieces and parts together. And then you have to, it was like for me, it was like a 10,000 piece puzzle that someone throws in the grass, right? And it's a green puzzle, and they don't give you a picture. You go, well, how do I put this together? And, hey, good luck, Charlie, So you can sit there and try to, that's kind of what all this great stuff on the internet, right?
Yes.
But if you've got to be able to use your brain and discernment, even the good stuff, right? Like we're talking about, they make it really tough. And disinformation agents try to spin these good guys into bad guys. But a lot of the times what happens is that they play right into their hands, don't they?
Yes, they do.
The white hats are playing the game because the bad guys know the game. They've been doing it for a long, long time.
Yes.
And so they can trap you into doing all this stuff. And then confuse you. You go, well, wait a minute. I thought they said, but they're like, what? And you're looking around. All these pieces and puzzles. You cannot put the pieces together if your brain is dead or asleep, if you're a zombie. So unzombify yourself. Get back. Wake up.
Well,
it's really easy.
And on top of that, Joseph, if you're reading material on the internet and you're following information about something or someone, and you're very, excited about it, and it's created a lot of, let's just say, enthusiasm. And all of a sudden, you wake up the next day and you hear, oh, that wasn't true, and da 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 da. Please step back from this for a moment and look at why all of a sudden you got that kind of news.
Yeah, exactly.
This is really important. I want everybody to really think about this. It's because we ourselves, as a group, are feeding that, that external, that external mechanism that really is, it's a looping mechanism. It's a program. It's a program. And we don't want to feed it anymore. And that program is not serving us by getting enthusiastic. Now, think about it. Some amazing events have gone down, such as the Superior Court within Canada stepping back from the Burnaby Mountain protesters. That's a huge event. This is because it was a checkmate situation, because judges and people from that court were busted. And this was the way the light used this opportunity for us to get a huge leap in justice. Now, what's going to happen? Now they want to kind of lessen the incredible augmentation of high feelings, bliss, love, all the excitement that we're feeling. We have taken off like a rocket, folks, and they are desperate. They are going to do any measure they can to lower that. So,
Right.
Step back if you start seeing all this smear campaign. I don't care who it is. I'm not necessarily here to take sides. I'm just saying, look at the way it's being delivered. Look at the timing. The timing is so obvious.
And discernment.
Yes.
You've got to have your discernment hat on. Remember, everything in balance. So you've got to look at that with a grain of salt. Everything. Read between the lines. And, always hold judgment. Don't believe in someone so much that you'll take their word for gospel. If they tell you to jump off the cliff, you jump off the cliff. Don't do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, discernment is everything.
Who was it? Who was it? D. Martini that said the best the best emotion is neutrality, because if you get really, 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 really happy, then you naturally have to balance yourself out, and your emotional network ends up kind of dipping in order to neutralize it and keep you in a balanced state.
But be happy, you know, as much as you can.
No, but you know what I mean. Everything, I really do agree, everything in moderation. I mean, you know, I mean, it's great to be happy, don't get me wrong, but...
Right, but what are you happy about? If you're happy and joyous about life and living, that's one thing. But if you're happy because you saw this piece of news, right, and the next day you have something that totally contradicts that, and you go, oh, now you're bummed, that just kind of negated that whole thing, right?
Yeah.
So stay happy, you know, because now you saw a possibility of us coming together and doing that. Okay, maybe it didn't work this time. But how do we know it's true, you know, that they've taken it out, right? We don't.
That's true.
So stay happy that there's a possibility. See? There's a total difference of where you're coming, the point of view where you're coming from, right?
Yeah, and
neutrality is good. If you're going to make a decision, be in a neutral place, you can't be swayed emotionally, right?
Yeah.
Best salesman on the planet will use emotion against you. And these are the best salesmen on the planet because they can pay for whatever, right? Little green pieces of paper with squiggly lines on it. And then just throw a bunch of it in your lap and you'll do whatever they say. And the smartest people, you know, they fall for it too. So, and then they hire the smartest. So you can understand, you know, and just look at it with discernment. Wake up. You know, do some simple things in your life. If that means yoga, if that means meditate, doesn't matter. Just do whatever you have to do to just get to a place of, when you're looking around, be like a little kid. You know, I guess that's even better. Because, like, what do little kids do? You know, you look at a little baby, they're looking at, you know, someone, a pinwheel, right?
Yes.
Running around and around, right? We've seen them a billion times. That's no big deal. A little baby, that's the most incredible thing. Their eyes will not leave that thing, right?
Yeah.
Be like a little kid.
Yeah.
Look at everything with a totally new perspective, and you're going to see stuff that you've never seen before, you know, because it's been beaten out of us through school, right? So, yeah.
Well, and go into, you know, the other thing that's really important when you're reading information, and I do this all the time when I'm blogging, is see what you feel. Go into your heart. Your heart, of course, has an even larger capacity than your brain, folks.
Oh, yeah.
So go into your heart, and if it doesn't feel right, pass on it. Don't read it, because it's part of the drama out there, and you know, it's like a feeding frenzy. Don't support that. Pull back from it. Yeah. I had a guy write in today. He says, you know, I'm so disappointed in what is going on the internet right now. He says, I'm literally disconnecting. I'm not going to read for a while. I'm just going to pull back and enjoy my family over the holidays.
Wow, what a cool thing.
You know?
And you know, why don't we do that for TV as well?
Yeah.
Just completely get off of TV, you know?
Yep.
And then, yeah, you know, I listen to...
I haven't quite gotten there yet, though, Joseph.
That's okay. You know, to each their own, right? But again, you know, I listen to a couple guys on TV, you know, that talk about the conspiracy theories and all that stuff, right? We won't name names because I love them.
I really do. Right.
But when I used to first listen to them, I was all mad. I was angry. Oh, we got to go hang out from trees, blah, blah, blah. We got to get the militia and go after them. You know, I thought, after a while, you know, when you take the emotion out of that, information, it's only information. Once I took the emotion out of it, I can actually listen and go, oh, I did not know that. Let me go check and see. And mm-hmm. Boom, sure enough. It's there, because these are fact-based, right?
Yes.
And they have all of their ducks in a row. I thought, oh, my God, that's brilliant. That's far. I didn't know that. And so from now, from this standpoint, it's like, ooh, keep all the anger and the emotion out of it. Because I think some of these are in place to keep us agitated.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Because, again, when you're agitated, your brain shuts down. You don't move. But if you take it as information only, anything on the internet, not just the broadcast, anything on the internet, you just look at it and you go, no, you know, I believe that people are good. So, but this is saying that people are bad. Well, next, you know?
Yes.
Just get rid of it.
Yeah.
And forget about it. Or forgive it, you know? Or turn that curse into a positive, right?
Yeah.
Because now you know better. But you need those opposites to know who you are and who you are not. You know, you need that. Because if we didn't have everything is a relationship, right? Everything. If you're floating in space and there's just a void, no stars, no anything, you can't really, you don't know who you are. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden, what do they say, a cat comes floating by? So now you're, oh, I'm bigger than you are. Oh, I don't meow. My gosh, you know, I don't have a tail. Wow, I'm not furry like you. So now you have a reference point, you have a relationship. And then a bus comes by and go, oh my gosh, I'm not that either. You know, so we need all of this stuff to have a relationship with ourselves and the universe to discover who we are or we're not.
That is beautifully stated, Joseph.
Oh, thank you.
Seriously, that was superb.
Thank you. But keep it simple. You know, always don't make it such a, you know, like I used to do. I mean, I used to take it and expound on it and analyze it with an electron microscope. And don't need any of that. Like, and like you were saying, how does it feel? Because that is the most truth to you. Everybody has different feelings. For you, what is the feeling of the truth? That's the discernment.
Yes.
That's your higher self, super conscious, whatever you want to call it, with the radar going on, you know, the BS detector going around, right? And then you can always change your mind tomorrow. Today, this is your truth. Tomorrow, you see something else. Oh, my God. Now you have a new truth, right?
Yeah.
If you really resonate with that and that comes from your heart.
I love it. I love it. Well, do me a favor, Joseph. Tell everybody about this land-breaking piece of news that Maui is the first city, state, or whatever, to ban GMOs. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, at this about the same time, within the last couple months, you know, the GMO initiative, right? Put GMOs on the labels, right? Or
right,
not.
Right.
Washington, Oregon just totally said no. I mean, well, okay, it was all manipulated. It was always a close call and always had a recount. And, of course, the recount always went against the people, right?
Right.
Well, I wonder who's doing the counting. Excuse me. You know? So it was all rigged. But Maui said, no. Wait, whoa. We don't want to just on the label. We want to ban it. And guess what? Monsanto's here. All these guys are here.
Monsanto.
Because you have three to four growing season versus one in stateside, okay?
Ah.
So all of their testing facilities, their chemical stuff, all here on the island.
Wow.
Nobody wants them here. So instead of saying, oh, we don't want this on the label, we don't want GMOs, period. So now they have to actually comply with the order. But then they sued, and of course, you know, Maui already knew where you'd get sued, right? But the judge that was head of the case that they assigned, he dismissed them on, was it the Big Island and on Kauai.
Wow.
He said, no, you can't rule on that because only the state can rule on it, not the county. See, each island is considered a county.
Right.
Altogether, it's Hawaii, the state, right? Which is another whole can of worms because nobody said you could be state here. You just took over at gunpoint. And so the Kingdom of Hawaii is taking it back. They wanted the Hague. Now the federales are considered just third-party outsiders. No, you don't own anything here. It's not yours. You have no jurisdiction here. But that's another whole battle. We won't go there.
Right.
But anyway, they're saying the state can make that ruling, right? So the judge dismissed all the cases on the Big Island and on Kauai, the Garden Island, right? So they can't do anything. Well, they're trying that here. Same judge. Well, he had to recuse himself because John Rappaport and others out there exposed the fraud. Well, he's worked for, as an attorney, he represented them, which is a big conflict of interest to begin with, right?
Right.
His wife worked at the Bank of Hawaii. So she's given them loans and she's, you know, handled the paperwork and all because there's a really cozy relationship. So that was all exposed. So he had to step down. But he had one of his friends, I'm saying friends, I don't know who this lady is, a new judge, but he appointed her, so it's got to be a friend, right? That's the way it works with these people. So now we have another full round to go through, but they're saying, okay, I think it's January, and I could be wrong on the dates, but January they have to comply with the order to stop everything, cease, this is all your stuff. And all we're saying is that, listen, I think by 2016, if you can prove that your GMOs are safe, hey, we'll embrace it with loving arms, right? That's all we're saying. They're already saying it's safe. No, you have to prove it. No, we said you got to prove it. But here's my theory on this, okay? Here's my take on it, which is awesome. Hawaii, Maui stood up to the giants and they're kicking their butts. So, but here's my take on it. I firmly, 100% am behind GMOs. I'm behind vaccines. I'm behind all the spraying of the skies. I really am, 100%. But with one little thing. Let's test it on the CEOs and the presidents and the vice presidents of companies first. You know, like you do with the rabbits, just inject in your eyeball and see how long you live. And if you survive the treatment, we will, well, we may think about it, okay? We may consider it. That, but that's it. I would be firmly for it, 100%. If we can prove that they can survive their own treatment, right? You see the Seralini rat experiment?
No.
Oh, my God. Okay. Monsanto did tests on certain rats, right? A certain genetic strain for 3 months. Well, nothing. They fed them BT corn. Nothing happened. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So real scientists in France said, well, let's do it for a year and see what happens. Same exact same genetics from the same lineage. Everything about the rats, exact. They took it to the extreme, right? Everything was exact. And in 1 year, the rats doubled in size from eating just the BT corn, which is supposed to be safe for you, by the way. Mm-hmm. Nothing else. I mean, you know, so you can't say it was something else. It's just the corn. Mm-hmm. Well, they doubled in size. And that doubling in size came all from the cancerous pus. Basically, the cancer tumor was the size of the rat originally. So they doubled in size and they were hauling their tumors around with them in 1 year.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Mount Satan came after and said, oh, you used the wrong rats. You used the wrong strain. You did it. No, actually, we didn't. Here's the paperwork, which you didn't read, because if you read it, you would know what we did, right? Trying to discredit, again, forget the facts. Just discredit the person, right? That's what's happening online as well. So it all kind of ties in. Discredit. You never answer the question because you always lose. Discredit the person or the entity or whatever, right?
Yes, yes.
So that's what happened. So now they said, okay, back to you, Monsignor. We're going to do it for 2 years and see what happens now. Oh, they're trying to stop it big time. Trying to get it retracted from, is it Nature or one of the prestigious magazines that was printed up in? They're trying to get it all taken out and let, and they're not. They said, no, we're going to do it for 2 years now because you pissed us off. Excuse my French. You made us really mad. And so that's the Seralini rat study. So here on Hawaii, we said, no, we don't want that. They tried that already. The Big Island did it, and Kauai did it, and they got, like, suppressed big time. So what's going to happen is now that this judge has been found kind of a bad apple, a bad rat, so to speak. Now, I'm going to see what happens with the other two islands, because the three islands together, we're like little tiny things in the middle of the Pacific, right? 2,500 miles from the west coast of the U.S., and Oregon, with all its money, Washington State, with all its money, couldn't defeat it. Just keep it off the, keep it on the label, right?
Right.
GMO. It's GM. No. It's not about that. You're playing nice. You're playing really nice. Forget the niceness. It's poison. It's literally rat poison.
It is.
And other things, right? Two forms of life. There's two new life forms. They can't figure out if it's a bacteria, if it's a virus. It's somewhere in between. And they're crystalline, and they explode. They reproduce very quickly. That's just part of the equation. There's so much bad stuff in this. All you got to do is look it up. You know,
and so sad.
Right? That can't be good for you. That just cannot be good for you. And there's people out there. Well, you know, we've been hybriding plants for a long time. You know, for hundreds of years, if not thousands. So yeah, but it's not genetically modified. There's a difference.
Yes.
Back then, we didn't know about that. So you graft plants together, and you get the best of both plants, right?
Right.
That's awesome. We're not injecting it with toxic, poisonous chemicals that when they come together, they make Asian orange.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it does. And all the Vietnam vets I talked to that are still alive, they're all diseased. And they said, yeah, we were told when we were in combat in the jungle, you know, that it's safe. Don't worry. We're gonna miss this over, So defoliage, and so you can see your enemy firing at you and all that stuff, right? They're in a firefight in the jungle, and this mist comes over, a helicopter will spray over, and then they see this mist coming down, and everything it touches turns black and dies. They go, oh, no.
Yeah.
They realize they've been lied to.
Yeah, well, you know, the military's been used, unfortunately, just like the rats, as this huge Petri dish. Yeah. To test to see how all of these horrific chemicals and pharmaceuticals, how they affect the body. They're basically the specimens and subjects so that they know how to tweak it and get a better result.
When you join the military, you just gave permission for them to use you as an experiment. You're absolutely correct.
It's unfortunate.
They own you. They can do anything they want to you, but they're not going to make it so blatant, and they will never admit to it.
No.
But again, you know, like anything else, there's good guys and bad guys, you know, in the Pentagon.
Yeah.
Like anywhere else in the universe, there's good guys and bad guys. And the New Age movement, you know, bless God, bless your heart. You know, if you only think good thoughts, no, that's not the way it works. Don't stick your head in the sand. Be aware of all this stuff, right? But choose where you're going to go. Yes, it's absolutely, you should do that. Do not stick your head in the sand. You're going to be run over.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that's just the way it works. So, again, comes back to have discernment, right? Think with your heart, not with your brain. That's the what's called the rainbow bridge, the longest distance between two points, your head and your heart.
Yes.
You're either one or the other, right?
Yes.
Balance, again, is awesome. But if you're in your heart has actually supersedes your brain because your heart goes into your mind, which is everything, right? That's what connects all together, right? Which is actually consciousness. And it's just incredible. But it doesn't matter what you call it. Just plug into it. You are God. Just plug into it. Go still. Go inside. Because all your answers are inside, not out there. Because that's all just what we make up, right? The illusion that we keep talking about. It's all inside. And literally, it's an illusion because your brain has taken the photons and turning it into a picture. What if that picture doesn't really exist like that? You know, what I call green may be orange to you, but we are agreed to this color being green, and you think it's green too, but it's really, for you, it's orange. Mm-hmm. But you call it green, right?
Right.
Something else might be purple or yellow. We don't know. My green can be totally different from your green. We don't know, but it's a consensus reality when we come together. So now how about going inside, connecting with yourself, and that's how you connect with everybody. Whole universe.
Yeah,
that's a much better way to do it, isn't it,
Bitch? Oh, much, much better.
Oh,
much better. And you know, we really are being called right now for the next stage and phase for being the so-called light workers, enlightened ones. Okay, we are now stepping into the next phase. So there, it's like we're upping the ante. And what we can become and who we are. We've been hearing over and over again for such a long time, oh, we just don't know, we don't remember who we really are. We've been hearing that for a long time, to the point where we're frustrated and we're tired of hearing it, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Now we're getting to the place where a lot of tools, a lot of light, and a lot of legions of light are accessible now. You just have to grab the opportunity. Don't
ask. They can't take over like the bad guys.
No.
To know right there. They're always right there.
It's a new game out there, folks. It's there's much, much more accessibility. Much more. So I don't care what your history is, your background, start over. This is the rebirth. This is the new beginning. This is the renaissance for us. It's time for us to realize that whatever happened before, throw it away. I mean, you can keep the knowledge and the wisdom from that you gained from the experience, but don't hang on to the frustration and the pain and the sorrow and the depression that it brought forth. Realize this is the new beginning for all of us. We have really had some game changers this year. 2014's been an incredibly productive, essential year for our growth. So important.
Yeah, absolutely, of course. Yes. It's like a bridging year, you know?
Yes.
And it's a bridging year, basically, between stuff that was going bonkers on one hand, right? And now things, you can see the things turning. You can see it. Desperate people do desperate things.
Right.
A lot of the rats are jumping off the ship because they know the ship is sinking.
Yes.
Know? And so, but they're going to do everything in their power. You know, liars are liars, right?
Yes.
So that's what they do. And so if you listen to the liars, shame on you. That's okay if that's what the reality you like. Stay. That's for you. That's okay. Not for me, though. You know, and so I'm going to create my own reality. And I'm going to listen to both sides of the equation and decide what I want, right? Discernment. And then make, here's the most crucial thing. Then make a decision.
Yes.
When that happens, guess what happens? Now there's a fork in the road, right? Now you've got two paths, at least. There's more than that. There's infinite. And then those two paths, the decision point is the most important thing. Because if you go left on the freeway versus right on the freeway, you're going to have a hole on one side, it might be in a crash. On the other side, it might be like, oh, you just won the lottery because you're the 10 millionth person to come off this off-ramp. Or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It could be because you made a decision, though, that's your free will in action, in motion, by creating your higher self. If you're listening to your gut, you go, oh, it doesn't feel good to go left, but I have to go that way to go to work. Or you go, no, I'm going to go a little further down, I'm going to go right. Oh, man, you know, that just feels good. Boom, good things happen, and you discover that something happened back there that you missed. right?
Yes.
That's your soul talking to you through the feelings, and it's connected to everything. It knows what's going to happen. I'm going to liken to like the Green Giant, right? Stand up high and look at everything. No, you don't want to go down that way. No, it's construction. That thing is going to fall down. You don't want to go down that way. You go this way. But if you go down that way to the left, you created that. You knew what was going to happen, and you did it anyways because it was your time to check out. See?
Oh,
you knew it was your time to check out, so you're going to check out that way.
You are so funny. You are so funny. You always make me laugh. Hey, tell us, you know, a couple more things, because we've got about 15 minutes.
Oh, cool.
Okay, tell us your perspective of what you think is going on regarding the financial reset.
Well, I believe you. I know some people that are really well connected to that directly, okay? Not that he said, she said, when some other person wrote a blog about it, but actually know the people. And what's really amazing is it will take place. It will happen. The issue is when, right?
Right.
They're going to tell us when.
Right.
And that's just, and that's probably the best, that's probably as it should be, right?
Right.
But you're looking around and you go, okay, well, the dollar is collapsing. Saudi Arabia today said, well, they're going to keep the oil, the output keep going until oil hits $20.
Oh, my God.
Because right now it's at 40-something.
Wow.
Right? Then it's going to go to 20. Who does that hurt? Well, it doesn't hurt us, you and I.
No, it does not.
Oh, I mean, that's great. But they're saying, Russia can't sustain itself because most of their economy is based on natural gas and oil, right?
Right.
And they have contracts with all the other Eastern, the European nations and everything, right?
Right.
So they're trying to do their own reset of the financial markets. Them and China, the BRICS nations, right?
Right.
So you see all this going on the one hand, right? And then on the other hand, you go, well, okay, they're warring with the world, and it's not good for the producers here in the U.S., which they say supposedly were. I'm just giving you background right now.
Yeah.
But the people that are doing all the, what is it called, the fracking? The frickin' fracking that they're doing, And now there's earthquakes in places never once before. Tennessee, and places like that. There's all these earthquakes, the water's so polluted, you can light it on fire, look it up online.
You
take a match in the water and it just lights up.
Yes.
Right?
Even out of people's personal spigots at home.
Yeah, and exactly. And that's what I'm saying. They're saying, hey, you know what, I don't even know that, but let's test it on those executives first. Let's see what happens. Let's see if they go on fire after they drink a couple of cups of that. And then, if they survive their own treatment, I'm for it. Well, maybe. I can change my mind, right? So, it's just bad stuff. And they don't even, the EPA got involved, and they don't even have, they passed legislation saying that if you have pond water, or if you even have, excess rain one year, and you have a little pond in the backyard now, that belongs to them.
Wow.
They've taken over all the water across the nation. Who gave them the authority?
Exactly.
See? So that's what happened. If we take our own power back, every single one of us, and put it out there, it's over for these guys, right?
Definitely.
I don't care how many pieces of paper, green pieces of paper you have with squiggly lines on it. You don't own me. That's the way we should approach this, okay?
Yes.
Because we are all sovereign, but you have to stand in that ground. You can't say that and then whimper in the background. You can't be doing that. You have to be who you say. But we all are there, okay? You just gotta come to that feeling of that's who we are, right?
Right.
That doesn't mean you can have subjugate somebody else in slavery because you think you're the boss, right? That's not what I'm talking about.
No.
The ego stuff.
No.
And it's good to have an ego. Don't get me wrong. Without an ego, we will cease as an individual. So we got to have an ego. But it's when it goes crazy, What's that? Ego's gone wild. You don't want that either, You take your shirt off in public and all that good stuff. So the fracking, so it's hurting the producers here. Supposedly, they were, we got together with Saudi Arabia to attack Russia. They're trying to throw Russia into World War III, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're ready to collapse the currency. Well, you know what? Once the energy goes down to $20 a barrel, man, we'd be, $1.25 gas or so, whatever. That'd be good for us. It'd be good for our economy. I'm not saying to do that, but it's all manipulated, obviously, right? Everything is manipulated. Everything. And even this Ebola thing that they've that's a whole other can of worms. But
Don't even get me started. I just came back from Africa, and I found it to be quite a scam.
Uh-huh, it is. And You know what the cure for Ebola is?
Vitamin C and colloidal silver.
Yep, and a gallon of water a day.
Gallon of water a day.
I'll take a clean water, because here's what happens. When you get Ebola, you don't want to eat, you don't want to drink. You go very, very dry. You're parched on the inside, and so you start bleeding from your orifices, right?
Right.
So if you can't get them to drink it, you put it intravenously into, you know, in their veins, so they stay hydrated. That's all the survivors. That they started doing that. If they can't get hold of vitamin C or colloidal silver, there's other things too, right? NMS, there's all these things. But if you just did the water thing, you probably have like a 98% chance of survival.
Yes.
Just get rid of it. Now your body has the antibodies, you never get it again.
Right.
Never mind the 250,000 people a year die from regular flu. Just the regular flu, right?
Right.
And anyway, that's we can spend 2 hours just talking about that. But anyways, so going back to the financial reset, it's going to happen. It's a question of when. And I think what's been relayed is that it's going to happen gradually, so it doesn't upset everybody. You know, people not waiting for the was the renminbi or whatever the
renminbi.
Yeah, and with all the other baskets of currencies. Oh, I know people that bought tens of thousands of dollars with that stuff, and then it's going to happen next Tuesday. It's always next Tuesday. Why is it always Tuesday? Oh, the banker, he got a heart attack, so he had to go in the hospital. It'll be next Tuesday. Why Tuesday?
Right.
This is for 10 years it's been going on.
Right.
Tuesday. Anyway, but it's not going to happen quite the way they think it's going to happen. It's going to be very gradual, so it doesn't upset the markets. They're trying to pull the rug under us to collapse the currency, right?
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, I haven't verified this personally, but I take it from people that I know that I personally trust, that the Federal Reserve, the master of printing money out of thin air, literally thin air, there's nothing behind it. They just print it up, right?
Correct.
Well, and they say, but we are the surety for the bond, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's fine, whatever, right? But it's still out of thin air. And then they've had their charter revoked, and the IRS has or is about to have theirs revoked, because these are all corporations. You know, they're just like the United States has an EIN number.
Yes.
Every court in the U.S. has an EIN number. They're for-profit organizations, okay? Police have their own EIN numbers. Everybody.
Yeah.
That's how they can charge you money. But what they do is when they incarcerate you, they use your bond and then blah, blah, blah. There's another whole thing behind that. But anyways, so...
Well, Joseph, if the Federal Reserve is already being... it depends on who you talk to.
Right.
But if it's already been... rechartered, if you want to call it that, that directly affects the IRS because they are trust number 62 out of Puerto Rico.
Right, and they're the collection agency for the...
for the Federal Reserve. Right.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So now you got all this stuff playing in the background, but the white hats don't want it to collapse. So they're, you know, you got the ones that want to collapse it, get people interfere, and you want to eat, you got to come to a FEMA camp, right?
Right.
It's like a Roach Motel. You can check in, but you ain't checking out. Really, that's the way it works.
That's so true, though.
Yeah, and so if you're hungry, okay, there's a human nature thing, part of the equation. If you go hungry for a week, you will shoot your neighbor to get his food, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And within 15 days... No, you have no food, you're going to start cannibalizing. You'll eat other people.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Remember the Donner Pass and all that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all, like, throughout recorded history. They've studied it. You know, they probably used humans, you know, soldiers. I mean, who knows what they've done.
Within 15 days, huh?
Within 15 days, you'll cannibalize. And so...
Wow.
But if you don't want to do that, you see your kids, you know, hungry, malnourished, see, they have to harvest your consent.
Yes.
There's this universal law. Even the bad guys, you know, they know this. They have to harvest your consent.
So true.
The guy says, you're under arrest. You put your hand out. You just gave your consent to be arrested. Why did you do that?
Well, did you see that latest video, that guy that said, I will not answer any questions because by answering a question, you're immediately giving them...
Right. So you know what you do? You answer a question with a question.
Hmm.
What's your name? Are you talking about my straw man or are you talking about, you know?
Yeah.
You can't say, well, why is the moon blue? I mean, it doesn't pertain.
That's exactly how the politicians operate when you interview them.
Exactly. They learned it. They got it down to it. That's what you do. If you don't answer a question, they can't nail you because you answer back. It's called the last card on top. So you ask the question pertaining to the question they asked you. They have to answer. Then you do it right back. They have to answer again. They're always playing the last card on top. You can go until 3 days. You know, just go straight. They're going to eventually adjourn the court or wherever it is. That's how you do that. If you always answer it with a question. Once you do the answer, they're going to use that against you because you've consented to do that, and now you're under their jurisdiction. They can't get you. What they're trying to do is get you under their jurisdiction when you answer a question. Can I see your driver's license? Why? You know, just start there if you want. Under what pretense or under what code or what? And then he has to actually go back to, if a cop stops you, he has to actually go back to find what penal code. And then dingbats.
Yeah.
They're hiring cops with 80 IQ or less. That's a fact. Because they don't want smart cops, because then they'll go, oh, you're right, it's constitutional. Okay, you're free to go. They don't want guys like that. They make more money by putting you in jail, right?
Right.
Anyway, so that's, again, another whole big subject. But, you know, why are you giving the consent? It's like Dracula. Can't come into your home unless you let him in. Right? It's the Dracula effect. That's what I call it.
They need
to harvest your consent.
That's awesome that you're pointing that out. So, once again, we are in a place where it's about having that initiative or that confidence or that belief, and I don't like to use that word most of the time, but it's true, that we are off of our knees.
Yeah, exactly. Because we are the ones we're praying to.
Yes, yes. So now tell me this. Give me some feedback a little bit, just really quickly before we tie this up, on how you see 2015 unrolling.
You thought 2014 was a roller coaster ride. 2015 is going to be, now you're looking at the predictions. You know, here's the interesting thing. When I listen to the pundits, you know, the ones that I like listening to, because they have all the facts, right?
Right.
I like listening to them, but they always say, you know, whenever you give a prediction, it never happens, right?
Right.
Because with a couple things. Number one, they're trapping you. They're going to make sure they discredit you by not doing it on the day that you say that you're going to do it, right?
Right.
So they're making you look like an idiot. And the second thing is, if you put the word out to enough people, it's like, you know who the greatest prophets are? It's the ones that stop the thing that they're talking about, the prophecy.
Mm.
Think about it. If you have enough people that you get the message out to, us collectively can stop whatever it is from happening.
Excellent.
See?
Excellent.
So the best prophets are the ones where their prophecies don't come true. But that's not the way humans look at it, okay? And, you know, look at it, oh, my God, this guy's a dingbat. He couldn't even, like, tie his shoelaces a bit on the day that he said it was going to happen. You know, that kind of thing.
Right,
So it discredits you in every way instead of looking at it correctly. But it works, you know? So that's why I don't give exact dates.
Yes.
But it will happen. And so I guess what I'm getting at is that the pundits that listened to said 2012 was going to be the end of the world, right? The 2012 thing. And I knew it wasn't going to be because I said, you know, do we have a Y2K? Are we still here? There's a Y2K1, right? Y2K1.
Actually, I felt like it was the end of the old world age is the way I saw it.
The end of time as we
knew it. Yes.
Everything speeds up.
Yes.
And the quarantine got lifted.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't actually 20, you know, that day, but it was close.
Yeah.
So some say, well, is this 2015? Well, you know, it doesn't matter. It's happening. We can all feel it. People are going nuts. Unless they're centered and grounded, you know, walk outside in the grass barefoot, man. This concrete jungle is okay for, you know, for a short time. You got to get grounded to mama. You know, Mother Earth, you have to do that. And you don't have to do anything, but I'm going to say it. You have to get grounded. Be a part of the planet. And that's why when you get quiet, you resonate with her frequency. You know, you resonate, and then you already are grounded. And then from that point, all you got to do, I mean, here's a little technique. Like if you want to be, and we did this before many years ago, if, I don't know if you remember, you take a rock, and you ask the rock if you can come in and step into the heart of the rock. And that rock will tell you anything you want to know. You ask it questions, it will talk back to you. It's really weird, but it works. That's how shamans, you know. They travel, right?
Right.
The heart of the plant. The plant will tell you what the medicinal qualities are. And that's all you need. You don't have to know what the plant is. You just see a wild thing growing, just ask it. you know?
Yes.
Yeah. You got to come from that place where you're connected to the plant. You are the plant.
Yes.
And so it's the same thing here, you know? So they say, well, every year is going to be the collapse. Here's the date. Well, it doesn't happen. Well, oh, yeah, but that's because, you know, they changed the rules of the, you know, per barrel, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's always an excuse, right?
Right.
None of that matters. Listen, if you really are connected to the highest source, and, you know, and you believe in reincarnation, you're going to come back.
Right.
So that doesn't matter anyway. It really doesn't. If you don't believe in reincarnation, you're going to die someday, so what? So what? So stand up for yourself, be who you are, right? I mean, make this the best place you can make it while you're here. So you're going to die and you're going to leave this beautiful heaven, you know, to somebody else? Really? That's not so smart. But if you get into this stuff, you get your heart into it, you're gonna know. See, where does the knowing? Who cares where the knowingness comes from? You're just gonna know. The heart is the knowingness.
That's
everything
right.
Else is okay. Well, it's theory up here in the brain, right?
That's
it's
right.
Always theory because it always changes. I get new information, it changes. But how does it feel? That's the truth. Like what we're talking about. So you know. So when is it gonna happen? It will happen, but not in the way that we think it's going to happen. All the people out there, like all their theories, right? You know, you can create one of those timelines and step into it. You really can. You know, you can go into a FEMA camp. But what if those FEMA camps were for the politicians and all their minions?
Good point.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Good point.
So now we can turn the curse into a blessing.
Okay.
We're going to need to put them somewhere. So, hey, so financial reset, it's going to happen, but totally different and much more beautiful than we could ever imagine.
Yeah.
And from the sources.
Yeah, and I want to reiterate by saying everything that we're hearing, even though we know that there's a lot of incredibly positive news coming out, and it is true, we just cannot imagine the beauty of the divine plan that's going to be unfolding if it's not already. So always remember, it's always far better than what we can even imagine that's about to come around the corner.
That's all about us. We have to choose that.
That's right.
We must create that, okay?
So
don't buy into that fear. Do not buy into that fear. Just use that love. It's the most powerful force in this universe. They keep trying to figure out what gravity is. They don't know what it is. Gravitons, blah, blah, blah. It's love. It's what holds the planets together, everything together, the glue of the universe. Atoms, molecules, you know, subatomic particles. So that's what we need to use to make this life better.
Okay. Well, Joseph, we're running out of time. We're like getting really close to the end of the hour. I just want to thank you so much for coming on. I want to thank everybody that's listening today. I love my audience, and you truly make my life worthwhile just knowing that you're out there supporting me and listening to me and me listening to you through your emails and correspondence. I love all of you. Please visit galacticconnection.com, our daily blog page. Also, the essences. I just came out with the Renaissance Essence. It's awesome for the Renaissance for 2015. And if you have any questions, you know where to reach me. Take care. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your holiday. We love you all. And thanks, Joseph.
Aloha nui loa.
Take care, everybody.